Let's continue reading verses 60 through 71 of John chapter 6. In these verses, we have the final section of the Bread of Life discourse. John chapter 6, verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Once again, let's look at some background notes. In verse 60, we read, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying, who can understand it?'" And in verse 66, we read, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Who are these disciples anyway? Are these the 12 disciples? No. We see clearly from verse 67 that the 12 disciples are in a different category. They do not turn away. Verse 67, Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And they did not turn away. The disciples who turn away from the Lord at this point are many of those from Galilee who had followed the Lord in his travels. They had listened to his teaching. They had seen his miracles, including the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. But now they turned away. Verse 66 again, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Many of them had expected that the Lord would become the political leader that they were looking for to head up a rebellion against the Roman occupation. But now they realize that this man, Jesus, was not the political leader that they had hoped for. Their popular enthusiasm for Jesus as a political Messiah was over. Furthermore, they could not handle the difficult teaching of the Lord about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. They were offended by this teaching. Now remember, we've belabored the fact that this teaching does not have to do with the Lord's Supper. The events here are a year before the institution of the Lord's Supper. And the Lord certainly did not mean to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood. In fact, notice in this section, the Lord says in verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." In other words, the words that he had spoken to them were not to be taken literally, but in a spiritual way. Do you follow that? The Holy Spirit gives life, and the means is by the words of the Lord. It's a spiritual work of God all the way. Nothing we do physically, including eating and drinking, is involved. In fact, the flesh profits nothing. Now, many of those who had once followed the Lord could not handle this teaching. This talk was offensive and scandalous. They could not stomach the fact that you must accept Christ as if eating his body and drinking his blood. They could not handle the fact that there was nothing you could do to make points with God. Your own merits didn't count. And the fact that you couldn't even come to God unless you were drawn by God was too much for them to take. Look again at verses 65 and 66. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Well, so much for our background notes for this section of the Bread of Life Discourse. Let's move now to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, not every disciple is a true believer. Not every disciple is a true believer. We've seen in this last section of the Bread of Life Discourse that many of Christ's disciples left him. Notice, it's not just random people that saw a few miracles and that were following. No, disciples. They no longer followed him. This proved that they were not true believers. Look at what the Lord said in verse 64. He's addressing this to the disciples, namely those who have followed and wanted to learn. But there are some of you who do not believe. The good news here is that everyone didn't leave. Notice verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? Notice, many, not all. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Many, not all. And here in verse 64, but there are some of you who do not believe. Some, not all. That's the good news. There were some who stayed and continued to follow, not just the 12, but others as well. They certainly became part of the early Christian community. The mark of a true disciple is perseverance. John chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. The mark of a true disciple is perseverance. Not every disciple is a true believer. The true disciple perseveres. The word disciple means learner. There were many followers of the Lord who were learners. They were not only interested in the miracles of Christ, they were actually interested in Christ's teachings. They wanted to learn, but they were not true believers. What about you here this morning? Are you more than a disciple? Are you a true believer? I remember when I was working in secular employment, I had a technician who worked for me. He became a disciple of Jesus Christ, but not a true believer. He began to attend church and Bible studies. He completed a number of Bible courses. This went on for close to a year, and then he turned away. He had been a disciple, not just a random follower or something like this, a little interest. No, he had been a disciple, but not a true believer. What about you here this morning? Remember, not every disciple is a true believer. Doctrinal point number two. Not every doctrine is easy to handle. Not every doctrine is easy to handle. Verse 60 again. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Those who turned away said, this is a hard saying or difficult statement. The fact that they had to renounce themselves and appropriate Christ as if eating his body, drinking his blood, they could not handle this teaching. It was too difficult for them. The same is true today. Not every doctrine is easy to handle. Take the doctrine of the foreknowledge of God and the doctrine of election, for example. These doctrines are not easy to handle. Notice, by the way, how these doctrines are contained in this passage before us this morning. Look back once again at verse 64 and 65. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him, and he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. Also verses 70 and 71. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Putting all this doctrine together is not easy. That everyone, including these would-be disciples, and Judas, and us here this morning, that everyone is responsible to come to Christ, and yet no one can come unless it's granted of him of the Father. Verse 65 again. No one can come to me unless it has been granted him by my Father. You're destined, and yet you're responsible for your destiny. This is not easy doctrine to handle. Not every doctrine is easy to handle. Well, that leads us to our practical application. Practical application number one. Will you turn away because of difficult doctrine? Will you turn away because of difficult doctrine? Many of them turned away because they could not handle this difficult teaching. Harmonizing the doctrines of predestination and election with the doctrine of free will is difficult. The doctrine of an eternal hell with eternal punishment is not easy to handle. Not only not pleasant, it's not easy to handle. The doctrine of the distinctive roles of men and women in the church is difficult for many. Will you turn away because of difficult doctrine? Practical application number two. Let's follow the logic of Peter. Let's follow the logic of Peter. In verse 67, the Lord said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Now notice what Peter says in verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now that's great logic. It really is. Peter essentially says, "Lord, even if we wanted to turn away because of this difficult teaching, where would we turn? We're sticking with you. You've got the words of eternal life." And he goes on to make that great statement. "We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's wonderful logic. Right on, Peter. Let's follow the logic of Peter. There may be difficult doctrines in the Bible, but is it logical to turn away from the source of salvation because you can't understand or don't like some difficult doctrines? That would be crazy. Don't risk it. Why risk ending up in hell because you couldn't handle some difficult doctrine, you couldn't understand it? Set it on the side. Receive Christ. Worry about the difficult doctrine later. Yeah, I think that's essentially what the Lord is saying here to these would-be disciples in verse 62. He says, "What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before?" That is, what then? You know, you're turning away because you can't handle this. But now, what are you going to do when there's the resurrection and the ascension, which would certainly validate all of the Lord's teaching? What then? What are you going to do then? You're going to realize that even though it was difficult, you were wrong. You should have at least accepted what I was saying. Let's trust God. Believe that he knows what he's doing, even though we may not understand or appreciate difficult doctrine. Someday we'll understand more. Let's follow the logic of Peter. "Lord, to whom shall we turn? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's follow the logic of Peter.